Right. I think that's maybe what we talked about the last time with Oz. Let's think for a second. I mean, we use that idea of Oz, but this is like one of the crowning points in Jewish history. Right? It says, Ra'as ha'shivcha bayam mashalo ra'a Yecheskel ben Buzi. That the vision of a humble maidservant at Yam Suf was greater than the vision of the Navi Yechezkel. He saw the Maaseh Merkava. Maaseh Merkava was to see how a Kodesh Baruch Hu guides the world. But this was greater. This was greater. This was, you know, maybe because this was not just Bederech Nevuah, but it was Bederech, the world of Maisa. In other words, this, you can learn something, but when you experience it, when your learning is built into your actual experience, it really becomes... It's a different understanding of something. It's really a very different understanding of something. To be able to see something ruchni with your flesh and blood eyes gives a person a greater connection than understanding something ruchni with ruchni eyes.
But that person who one time saw the shira, he couldn't have been greater than Yehezkel.
No, that's what they say also, that person remained whoever they were. They didn't do the next step, which is necessary, which is once a person has that sort of experience, to build on it. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the shuls.
Okay. I'll go again.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah. You got to do something with it. You don't do anything with it, it doesn't go anywhere. It really doesn't go anywhere.
Actually, would you say it was a regression after that?
I don't know. I don't want to get into the negative part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather we would deal with the positive part of it. We'll deal with the positive part of it. So it says that the Maral also says that there are three levels of emunah that the Jewish people achieved. The fundamentals really of emunah that the Jewish people achieved in the process of their exodus from Mitzrayim. There was on the one hand, there is that which they said in Mitzrayim itself, which was Vayamein Ha'am. They believed. And the Maral says that belief is the belief of Hashgacha. Kodesh Baruch was Mashgiach upon the world. The second belief is Vayaminu Ba'Hashem Uv'Moshe Avdo, which is here at Kriyas Yam Suf, and that itself is an interesting thing. By Minu Bashem of Moshe Avdo, they believed in Hashem and Moshe Avdo, and the Maral says that the emuna of Kriyas Yam Suf is the emuna in Mitzius Hashem, in the existence of Hashem. You would think that that's out of order at first glance. You know, you would think it's out of order in that how can they first believe in Hashem's Hashgacha, right? And then afterwards believe in Metzius Hashem. Says the Maharal, because the belief in Metzius Hashem, not just that Hashem is there, but Hashem is Echad, Ein Od Milvado, that Hashem encompasses everything. He's not just, as it were, a koach involved in our lives, but that he is everything. When they saw the splitting of the yam, they understood this. and understood that Hashem is what we call, he is echad. Echad meaning that he's one, and he's not two, and he's not three, and he's not four and a half. But echad meaning he's ein od milvado. He is the only metzias. He is the only reality. He's the only reality. And everything exists within his ratzon. And the last emunah is in next week in Matan Torah. Begam becha yaminu la'olam, right? And they also believe. They will believe in you as well, in Moshe Rabbeinu. And that emunah is the emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates to man. I.e., he has expectations of man, and he communicates to man what's incumbent upon man to do, the process of nevuah, etc. Process of nevuah. So what? Hashem wants, wishes to, and does communicate to man, and that's what Torah is. Mm-hmm. Torah is the communication of Hashem's will to man. So the first step was that they understood that Hashem was involved in their lives. Second step was the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is echad. But again, echad doesn't just mean one and not two. Echad means einod melvado. He is the only mechuyav hamatzius. And at Matan Torah, they understood that Hashem wishes to communicate to man, and he does so, and that's called Nesinas HaTorah. So let's just take a look. Maybe let's like back up just 1 second. In Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, last Pasuk.
Which one?
Or actually, let's just start from Lamed. Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu. Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Lamed. Yudalad. Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Lamed. That's on page Shin Chof Ches, Rav Moshe. Shin Chof Ches.
You got what? Kaf?
Shin Kaf
Ches.
Ches.
Okay. Yudal Lamed. Lamed. Okay. Vayosh Hashem Bayomahu is Yisrael Mi'ad Mitzrayim. Hashem saved in that day Yisrael Mi'ad Mitzrayim. Yisrael from the hand of Mitzrayim. Vayah Yisrael is Mitzrayim Meis Asfas Hayom. And the Jewish people saw Mitzrayim dead on the banks of the sea, on the shore of the sea.
Safach means next to?
Sfas.
Safas.
Safas means the shore. The safa, like the lip.
Mm-hmm.
Like the lip of the sea.
The beach.
The beach. Mm. Yeah, I would say you think of the beach, though, you already call it, you have pictures of umbrellas. Right.
No, we don't see umbrellas.
Right.
Your friend and I. I'm in the same mold in California, except my mold is in New York.
Yosha.
Why are you going back to the Yosha?
Let's just understand what it means. Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu.
Mm-hmm.
And that day Hashem saved the Jewish people from the hand of Mitzrayim. What does the Sforno say? Vayosha. B'misas ha-mistolim bom, with the death of those who had abused them. L'shabdom. Nishru heim b'nei chorin. With the death of those who had, as it were, abused them, incarcerated them, enslaved them, they were left as Bnei Chorim. Ki ad eis mosam ha-Yisrael ka'avadim borachim. Because until that point, right, they were like slaves who were running away. Mm-hmm. They only became free with the death of their masters. Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis al svas hayom. Right, and they saw them dead on the shores of the sea. What does Rashi say on that? The Sforno doesn't say anything on that. Sforno says, Rashi says, Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis shapoltam hayam al svasol. Now, what happened over here? Gosh Baruch Hu spat them out, right? Gosh Baruch Hu spat them out onto the sea, onto the shore, so they should see them. So they shouldn't say, just like we are coming up on this shore, so too the Egyptians are coming up on a different shore, and they will shortly run after. This is a chisarna nemuna. This is a chisarna nemuna. Right. In other words, that sort of mentality, that sort of fear, is a chisarna nemuna. In other words, really, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to make himself revealed to us in this world, really is just really as little as necessary.
Yeah.
As little as necessary. Because the more that a person toils in the world of Emuna, the more that he toils, the more, what do you call it, the more effort he expends, the more avoda he's done, the more he makes, what do you call it, he makes himself closer to Hashem, the more his schar will be. In other words, the more that a person is handed a revelation on a silver platter, that's not his avoda. That's just not his avoda. So then, you know, what he does with that is limited, because it's, again, it's a gift, it's a freebie. This is a world of avoda. Now, of course, the Beis Halevi says that Hashem does nisim. Let's say, without talking about the nisim that we've seen here in Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, etc., the nisim of Dora Midbar, the nisim. We're not talking about that, because these are extraordinary circumstances. But under normal circumstances, Hashem doesn't perform a nais. And oftentimes we say, "Oh, Hashem, do a nais and I'll believe." That's counterproductive. It's counterproductive, because the whole purpose, the nais, Hashem will do nisim for people, but when those nisims mirror the level of emuna they're on. That is true. Hashem will do nisim for a person, but he'll do the nisim, and those nisim, in fact, will be a further, you know, inspiration, right, to go further and do more, etc. But the purpose of nisim is to mirror the level the person is on, and then in turn that'll be a support, yeah, and an impetus to go even further. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to cause a person to be mamin through nisim under normal circumstances. He's not going to cause him to be mamin through nisim under normal circumstances. Because that's like I said, it's counterproductive.
It's cheating.
It's really called the, if we want to cheat, so then we don't have to come here. They'll leave us upstairs, and that'll be fine. You'll get everything free. You don't have to work for anything, and except that what do you call it, that you will forever remain deficient, because the one who, as it were, is receiving a freebie, yeah, is forever deficient in comparison to the person who's toiled for something and earned a reward for it. sweet is the sleep of the laboring man. Yeah, right. As I say in English. Sweet is the sleep of the laboring man. Right. I mean, it's also in Hebrew also, but in English, whatever. So that's so what happened over here is Rashi tells us that they saw them al svatayam. As Hashem transformed them from free men into slaves, and as all these nisim were necessary to be mashachrer them. In other words, the nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, are a birth process. We were slaves with a slave mentality, subjugated by other people, other peoples, etc. In order to deliver us, to create us anew, like the Navi Cheskel says that in Mitzias Mitzrayim it was the birthplace of the Jewish people. That's where we were born. We were born in Mitzrayim. So it has to have a certain amount of unilateral nature to it. We didn't have the capacity to pick ourselves up. Just very, very peripherally, we didn't have the ability. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make nisim for us to extract us from a false world. He made Esther, he made for us Esther Makos to strip away the confusion that we had about the Asara Mamoros, Shenivra Bo'olam, the 10 sayings that which Hashem said to give creation to the world. And as a person can find Hashem in the world, but so much garbage, so much cheap shellac had been heaped upon the vision of those 10 sayings of Hashem by which He created the world, that we didn't have the capacity, to understand it. So we needed varnish remover. The varnish remover was the Eser Makos. And each step along the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, is saying, okay, now, can you make the next step yourself? Right? So Seder, each one is a question, each one's a test. Can you make the next step, or do I have to continue unilaterally as we're picking you up? So here, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Ahu Yisrael Biyad Mitzrayim. The Jewish people saw, they went into the Yam Suf and they were saved. In a second before, they were dead meat.
Right.
There was either the desert and the midstream, or the impossibility of the ocean in front of them. And all of a sudden the sea splits, and they're able, as it were, to cross the Yam. Miracle of miracles. But if it creeps into their mind, what if the midstream? What I got on the other side, and it'll come after us afterwards? That's a deficiency in emunah. That's a deficiency in emunah. It means you haven't integrated it sufficiently, that you've lost your ability to worry. You're still worrying.
It's a slave mentality.
Right. It's a slave mentality. It's a lack of being an Oved Hashem. An Oved Hashem, a person who's an Eved Hashem, the Melech takes care of his servants. Period. The Melech takes care of his servants. The only reason and the only time that a person should be in a state of fear is if he knows he's not an Eved to the Melech. Then you got what to worry about, because the Melech's not going to take care of what he calls someone who's not a servant to the Melech. Why should he? That's because the person's rebelling against the Melech. Right. But if a person knows that he's a servant to the Melech, there's nothing to be afraid of. So over here, this lack of emunah, the fact that such an idea could creep into their minds, Kadosh Baruch says, nope. What can I do? I have to record, as it were. I have to go a step further. So the Mitzrayim are spat out into the Yam. The Medrash brings down that the Yam complained. They said, hey, I'm your servant, Hashem. He says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm your servant. And you gave me a prize. You gave me 400 Egyptians and their chariots. 600, sorry, right? You gave me 600,
okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Gave me 600 recalled Egyptian chariots and their charioteers. And now you want to take it back, you're an Indian giver. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, he says, don't worry, I'll give you back 1.5 that times. Right? I'll give you back 1.5 that time. Spit them out now. And at the time of Sisera, right, the Haftorah, the case of Dvorah, right, Shiras Dvorah and Barak Ban Avinoam, etc. So then, what he called, you'll get back 1.5 times, and then they got 800. They got 800 of Sisera's chariots were washed out to the sea by Nachal Kishon. In other words, okay, without getting lost in that, fine. So Kadosh Baruch Hu spits them out. Yisrael is Mitzrayim. Meisal Svas Hayam. Vayar Yisrael es Hayad HaGdola Asher Asah Hashem B'Mitzrayim. What's Hayad HaGdola Asher Asah B'Mitzrayim? Es HaGvura HaGdola, says Rashi. It's like Vura Gdola Sher Us Hashem Bimitzrayim, Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem, Vayaminu Ba'Hashem, Uve Moshe Avdo. What does Rashi say? Es Hayada Gdola, Es Hagvura Gdola, Hagvura Gdola, Sher Us Hayado Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vahar B'Lashono Snoflim Al Lashon Yad, V'Kulon Lashon Yad Mamesh Hein. Mafarsho yitaken a loshon achar inyan hadibur. They saw the yad hagdola, hagvur hagdola. And there's the peulas hagvur hagdola. What is the Sforno saying it? Hayad hagdola, madvei Mitzrayim haroyim shaloku bom alayam. The suffering of the Mitzrim alayam, vayiru ha'am ke'omro asher yagorta, right? Asher yagorta mipnehem. In other words, the fear. And as what did they see? They saw him. To be afraid of. But Yirhu Am Es Hashem.
They feared, the people feared Hashem, right?
Right. So it's interesting. Where does the Emunah come from? Then it says, Vayaminu Ba'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. What transpired over here? It says, Vayosha Hashem Bayom and Pasuk Lamed. It says, Hashem delivered the Jewish people and had them in the midstream. He took care of them. He took care of them. He saved them. But they're still afraid. They're still afraid of the Mitzrim. It's a lack of emunah. So Hashem showed them the Mitzrim dead, right? Not only that, but like the Netziv, Masber, the Medrash, they saw how every Mitzri, yeah, got mida keneged mida. He got exactly the Mitzri that punched the Jew in the nose. His nose was, let's say, was bit off by a moray eel or something, right? Yeah, the Mitzri who raised his hand to strike a Jew, etc. So his hand is mangled, etc. I mean, he's all dead, but obviously they suffered, yeah, in recompense for all the abuses that they'd heaped upon the Jewish people. When they saw that, then they were afraid. Vayiro ames Hashem. Oh, now they were afraid of Hashem. Now they realized that there's only one year that a person should have, the year of Hashem, because Hashem takes into consideration every action that a person does. Every action that a person does. When somebody is beneficent to you, he's beneficent to you, and he gives you something. So you don't necessarily realize the power of that individual. He's just, you know, he's nice and he gave it to you. He's very big and he's got money and he gave it to you. But he was nice to you. When you see, though, here in the world of, you know, of Mishpat, yeah, because the other thing is a gift. People unfortunately don't know how to appreciate gifts properly from the Rabbonu Shalom. But when they see the incredible Mishpat, the incredible Diktuk HaDin, then they realize that everything that a person does in the world, right, has either a reward or a price. One or the other. A reward or a price. They were afraid of Hashem, and that brought them to Emunah. That brought them to Emunah. That is l'chora why they had here the Emunah, right? The Emunah of Ein Od Milvado, that the Rabbeinu Shalom encompasses everything. They encompasses everything. In other words, here they saw l'chora this yesod of the makom shatamotze gdulaso shel makom shama tamotze amvisanuso. In the place where you see Hashem's greatness, where do you see that? In his incredible humility. In other words, his involvement in every prat, in every nekuda. I mean, this is in the world of punishment. Ordinarily, you use that term in the context of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of every single thing, every single need of every single bria, etc. But it's the same thing is also over true here, but it was necessary for them to see it in a negative fashion. To see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is where every action that a person does, nothing is meaningless. It's either worthy of reward and kesher to Hashem, or else it's worthy of onesh, which is necessary to cleanse the person, etc. But nothing goes for nothing. Nothing is ignored. And that brought them to this emunah. In other words, in Yetzias Mitzrayim, perhaps they didn't see it as clearly. They saw Hashem as Mashkiach, they saw he's taking him out, they saw that the mitzvah in general, as we're receiving onshim, which were mida keneged mida. But here at the Yam Suf, the Netziv says, and he says, that's the discussion that we find in the Haggadah, the Machlokis, the Tanoim. How many Machlos were on the Yam? More Machlos than it appears that there were in Yam Suf. Maybe there are 50, maybe there are 250, maybe there are 300, etc. Right? How many different Machlos? So he says, what is all this discussion here? What does it all mean? In other words, we're talking about the level of specificity that they were witness to in the world of Mida Keneged Mida. And they saw that, they said, oh. Then, Vayaminu Ba'Hashem Uva Moshe Avdo. Now the question is, where does this fit in with Uva Moshe Avdo? Vayaminu Ba'Hashem Uva Moshe Avdo. Vayaminu Ba'Hashem Uva Moshe Avdo. What is Moshe doing in this sentence? What is Moshe doing in this sentence? Let's see. Rashi doesn't address it.
Yeah.
Moshe Avdo. Avdi Moshe. My servant Moshe. I mean of Hashem. Right. Perhaps what it means is that Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps, I don't know, perhaps it means is that Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe Rabbeinu was the instrument for all of this. He was the instrument for all of this. And perhaps they understood that what gives a person the capacity to wield such power over creation is if he's an Eved to Hashem. V'aminu b'Hashem u'v'Moshe Avdo. Moshe Avdo. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu. It's an interesting thing. In other words, they were avodim to Paro. They were avodim to Paro. They couldn't, as it were, they couldn't go anywhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to deliver them from the hand of Paro. He had to deliver them from the hand of Paro. So he wiped out the Mitzrayim. But still their emunah wasn't complete. They were still afraid. They were still afraid of the Mitzrayim. Because Bo had to spit out the Mitzrayim, cause the Yam to spit out the Mitzrayim onto the Yam, so onto the shore, for them to see it. They saw all of the terrible onish. They were taken with fear when realizing, as it were, how completely involved HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in every single aspect of what a person does. And then they understood that a person who is an Eved Hashem, totally an Eved Hashem, is unlimited in his capacity. He's unlimited in his capacity because what there is to fear is my lack of being an Eved Hashem. And what there is to fear is when I go against the word of Hashem. But a person who is completely an Eved Hashem, he's an agent of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. He wields all the power. They understood who Moshe Rabbeinu was now. They understood where Moshe Rabbeinu's koach came from. Because he was an Eved Hashem. Because everything that he did was only... and based upon or only connected to his ratzon to be over Hashem. That's where he had all this koach from. V'aminu v'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. They understood that a person has the capacity by being an Eved Hashem, by his, we're wanting only to be and only to be afraid of and only be concerned with the ratzon of Hashem. That person has an unlimited capacity. He has an unlimited capacity. They believed in Hashem because they see Hashem is completely involved in every aspect of man's life. As they saw the mita kineged mita punishment of the Mitzrim, they saw the incredible irony. Yeah, the incredible irony. What happened? The Mitzrim sought to drown the Jews in water, and the Mitzrim, as the Maral says, the Mitzrim are the height of the world of physicality. They are the epitome. They're the epitome of what exemplifies physicality amongst the nations of the world. As it says in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Ki Besar Chamorim Besaram, Vizir Masusim Vizir Masam. Their flesh is like the flesh of the Chamor, which the Maral says Miloshon Chomer, physicality. And the Maral says that Mayim And this, in the context over here, is the example par excellence of physicality. Because Mayim is like Chomer. Chomer takes whatever shape, whatever tzura you happen to put it into. It is the epitome of Chomer, Mayim.
And for all the other miracles, they didn't believe in Moshe until now?
They believed in Moshe, but they didn't understand the yesod of Moshe. In other words, Moshe was very clearly very powerful, yeah? And clearly Moshe had incredible kokos over here. And Moshe told them that God was what he called was interested in. But they didn't understand, how does that work? How does that work? You know, where is Moshe getting this koach from? The Teretz is because he's an Eved Hashem. Because he's an Eved Hashem. That's where he gets the koach from. It's not like, you know, okay, just be mikre, what he called. Hashem was looking for, you know, someone to send on the mission. Right? So he says, let's pick that guy over there, you know, whatever it is. What qualified, Moshe's qualification to have done, they realize now in retrospect, that everything they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu had done until now is a function of his being an Eved Hashem. Because Hashem is so totally involved in every aspect of what man does. And he's so totally, on the one hand, wishes to reward or to punish every aspect of what a man does. So a person who's a complete Eved Hashem, in other words, I have no Ratzon of myself, I only have the Ratzon to do the bidding of my master, that person is like a mateh. He's like the staff in the hand of the king. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu wielded a mateh. He wielded a mateh because he was a mateh. He was he was the staff in the hand of Hashem. Why? Because he made himself into an Eved. And it's very crucial to see that a person who makes himself into the mateh of the Ribbono Shel Olam, makes himself into the Eved of Hashem, Hashem gives him a mateh to hold within the world. In other words, right? In other words, being an Eved Hashem transforms a person into a melech in this olam. Being an Eved Hashem transforms the person into being a melech in this olam. A person who wants to be a melech because I got suspenders, right? A person who wants to make himself into a melech as detached from Hashem, in the end turns himself into nothing. In the end, the very world that he believes in consumes him. Paro, yeah, is the classical example of a person who wants to be a melech, was a melech, but without an attachment to Hashem. Mi Hashem? Who is he? Don't know him. I'm self-made. My malchus, my greatness. Yeah, my greatness is self-contained. It doesn't emanate from anywhere else. So the very world in which he believed in, from which he took so much pride and strength and faith in, etc., that very world consumed him. The water, the Chomer that he sought to use as a weapon against his enemies, against the Jewish people, in the end, was what that itself consumed him. It became his Frankenstein's monster.
Turned around.
And where does a person get greatness from? By being an Eved. An Eved Hashem. An Eved Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu is called a Melech. A person becomes a melech by making himself into an Eved. A person makes himself into a melech, yeah, by making himself first into an Eved. Then he has no fears, and he's got so much power. He's got so much power. Why? Because he only has one fear. Yiras Hashem. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's got Yiras Chet. The fear that I could do something against Ratzon Hashem, the concern, the worry that I could possibly do something against the Ratzon Hashem, that's the only fear that he's got. That's the highest fear. It's not the fear that he's going to punish me. The fear that I might do something against the Melech Malchei HaMelechim. It's not the Yiras Onesh. It's the year that I could possibly do something against his Ratzon. Gewalt. How could I? That transforms a person to a melech. By aminu b'Hashem u'Moshe avdo. They got an understanding not only of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but they also got an understanding of what the potential and the essence is of a Tzelem Elokim. Moshe is an Eved, and look what Moshe can do. Interesting. It's interesting. I mean, at Matan Torah, there it says, "V'gam b'cha yaminu le'olam," and also in you they will believe forever. "V'gam b'cha yaminu le'olam." There it says, it doesn't say "V'aminu b'Hashem v'Moshe avdo." There the concept is that the Jewish people have to understand that the Torah that they have, is Torah's Moshe. Mm-hmm. Torah's Moshe. Hashem wants to speak to them, and he's speaking to them via the conduit of Moshe.
I don't think if it wasn't a Moshe, it would be somebody else.
Yeah, but there wasn't the Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi. He was also the greatest Anav. He's the greatest Anav. It became Torah's Moshe. He's the king. Right? He's really cool. He's the king who receives the Torah for us by virtue of his Avdus. Right? And it's his Torah that we believe in. Moshe Emes Visaraso Emes. Moshe is Emes Visaraso Emes. Moshe achieved in an Olam. This Olam is called an Alma de Shikra. It's called a world of lies. It's a world of Sheker.
And saying that Moshe wasn't Sheker.
Right. Moshe is Emes Visaraso Emes. Moshe achieved to live on the plane of Emes in an Alma de Shikra. No other person achieved that. No other person achieved it.
What's
Shikra? Sheker. Lies.
Lies.
It's a world of lies. It's not just a world of lies of deceit. It's a world of lies because the world itself is kilu a lie.
Sometimes
it's
hidden.
Yeah. This world is only a prose door. The meaningful nature of this world is only as a tool. It's only as a tool. It's not in its objective value. It's only as a tool to be able to reach something higher. As an objective value, it's a sheker. We live a lie. Because what's MS? MS is something that has continuity from beginning to middle to M, to end. Aleph, beginning, mem, middle, tof, the end of the Aleph base. That's MS. Emes Rudikwa has continuity from the origin to it is. Whereas Sheker, this world is constant. It's not going in terms of itself. It's not going towards anything. It's constantly dying. We're losing. We've lost the Emes holds together everything at the same time. The past, the present, the future, just like Hashem is Emes. Hashem Elokim Emes. He's Emes. Shem Havaya. The name of Havaya, Yudke Vavke. There is no past, present, and future in Hashem. He is past, present, and future. It's all together in the present. Whereas we, right, every second, our life is being transformed into the past. It's gone. What more bitter sheker than that? It's a bitter sheker. It's what he called it. I don't have it now. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Something's emes. It can't disappear. It's kayam. It is. It's true. But something that, what he called, something's illusionary or something that's false, it's gone in an instant. It's an alma de shikra. It's an alma de shikra. It's an alma de shikra.
Unfortunately, you take a lifetime.
We'll figure it out sooner, hopefully, rather than later. And if we didn't figure it out sooner, so we'll figure it out later. What should we do now? What should we do now? We should go cast ourselves on the nearest parapet? Yeah. We should sit and spend the rest of our lives, yeah, crying over spilt milk? That's nonsense. Lehefech. A person, first of all, it makes no sense. It's like a person who's in a boat. Right, person's in a boat. Right? No, I was thinking of a different thing. A person's in a boat, and there he is, you know, Tom Sawyer like, and he's like, you know, or Huck Finn, and he's, you know, there's a catfish. Just, you know, we're gonna sail down the Mississippi.
Where's the pipe?
Right, I got here. Yeah, down the Mississippi. Right, and life is going on, you know. You flow gently, sweet Afton, or whatever, yeah, and just going on and on and on. And then the person looks around, all of a sudden he says, I don't believe it. Look at that. The banks are covered with trees, with golden fruit. Here I am sitting on my derriere here, in the middle of things, doing nothing. I could have been picking off all this golden fruit. I'd be a rich man. I'd be a rich man. So now he's got two choices in front of him. He can either look forward, right, at the bow, that's the bow of the boat, yeah? The forward, yeah? You can look forward at the bow of the boat and...
No, it's prow.
The prow.
The prow.
The prow.
The bow is someplace.
Right, okay, whatever it is. The front of the boat. The front of the boat. He can either go to the front of the boat and steer towards the shores and pick and pick and pick and pick. Or he could go to the back of the boat. That's starboard, right? He go to the back of the boat.
Starboard is right.
Right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Starboard is left. Starboard is right.
Right. Well, anyway, he'll go.
The front, the bow is the back.
The bow is the back, yeah. Yeah, he goes to the back of the boat, and he can say, oh, I lost all the fruit! Oh, I lost all the fruit! Oh, right? What a waste of time. What a stupid thing to do. That goes down the sewer. Right, what a stupid thing to do. But not only that, but the koach of tshuva, that's the godless of tshuva, the anguish that a person feels over having missed that before, yeah, which gives him a greater koach, yeah, to go forward with more vigor. In that way he can claim all of those lost apples as well. Zdonos nasos lokis chuyos. The avarice that a person committed on purpose, if he does tshuva mi'ava. Right? Tshuva mi'ava means, hey man, I got the head, finally I think I got screwed on straight. I want to do the right thing. I need to do the right thing. If that gives him further impetus, his anguish over having lost, yeah, those previous apples, then all of those apples that were lost are no longer lost. They become his as well. Zdonos, avarice that a person committed with malice aforethought, have the capacity to be transformed when a person does tshuva mi'ava into schuyos. It's an amazing thing. So Moshe Avdo, Bina v'Hashem of a Moshe Avdo, they realize here that what is the secret? What is the secret? Going back to our pasuk here, what is the secret of a person to be an Eved Hashem? A person wants to be his own self-contained melech. He's with the mitzvah. He goes down the drink. And a person, as it were, who wants to be an Eved Hashem, lehefech, he transforms himself into a melech. Turns into a melech. Oz Yashir Moshe. Oz Yashir Moshe. So what does Rashi say? Oz. Keshera hanes, ola belibo sheyashir shira. Ola belibo sheyashir shira. Oz. Then. Right then, Oz is an interesting word, right? Oz can either mean the future, Oz can mean in the past. It means then, but the then can mean, yeah, the future or the past. Oz. Oz also, the Farshim say, the Medrash says, the Bein Habachi brings it, that Oz is Aleph Rochev Al Shiva, the one, the only one, who rides upon the world of seven. You know, Rabbonu Shalom. It's a reference to Rabbonu Shalom.
7 days
of natural Aleph on Zion. Aleph on top of Zion, riding on Zion. And there's this one source which is behind all the world, the natural world. But here he says, Rashi says, Oz kesherah ha-neis, ola belibo shiyashir shira. When he saw the neis, it was ola belibo, it rose up in his heart to sing shira.
Moshe?
Right.
Moshe started shira?
He started, but the problem is why does it say Oz Yashir? It's to say it should say Oz Shar, then Moshe sang. Shar is past, Yashir is future. You're talking about an event that the Torah is describing as it took place. So we say Oz Yashir. What does that mean, Oz Yashir? Then he will sing. Then he sang, not that he will sing. It's the wrong word. It's the future, it should be in the past.
Moshe sang.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that. It says Moshe will sing. Oz Yashir, then he will sing? Then he sang, not will sing. So first of all, Chazal and the Gemara and Sanhedrin bring a rye from here. Mikan l'tchias ha-mesim min ha-Torah. This is a rye to tchias ha-mesim min ha-Torah. Just like he sang, he will sing.
When the summoning occurs.
Right. He will sing. And this is the yesod of Tchias Amazim. Because what is Tchias Amazim? Tchias Amazim is Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, a person made out of flesh and blood will no longer live in a world of past, present, and future. Where the past... Right?
It'll all be future?
It'll all be present with future.
At the same time?
No. Well, in other words, let's put it this way. In our world, like the Ibn Ezra says, Avar Ayin, the past is gone. Ayin, it's gone. With an Aleph. That was an Ayin. With Ayin, it's gone. Avar Ayin, Vahatid Adayin, and the future is yet to come. V'ha'hoveh, and the present keheref ayin, like the blink of an eye. That's olam hazeh for us right now. Ha'avar ayin, the past is gone. Everything is turning to the past. Every less than a nanosecond is turning to the past. It's gone. It's gone. We've lost it. We've lost it. We've lost it. We've lost it. Yeah. The hoveh, yeah, the atid is a dying. It hasn't happened yet, but immediately it comes, and then it's transformed into the avar. And the hover, the present is an illusion.
It's a fleeting moment.
Yeah, it's whatever it is. The hover is nothing more than the passage of the future into the past.
Future into the past.
It's nothing more than the passage of the future into the past. It's coming. It's gone. It's coming. It's gone. It's coming. It's nothing. It is nothing. In the world of Olam Haba, where there we will be able to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his name is Yudke Vavke Havaya, he is the past, present, future. It's all there in what he called Hashem is created time. So then when we're there with him, and right, so then everything will be in the present. Every good thing that we did, let's not address the chesronos right now. Right? Every good thing that we did will be right there, we'll be experiencing. We will experience that gewaldike ne'ila. We will experience that unbelievable understanding that we had in Ashir. We will experience and all be there at the same time. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? We know that we've had experiences, that we're experiences of incredible elation. Right, incredible elation, incredible understanding, incredible perception, incredible excitement, incredible happiness. incredible depth, incredible, unbelievable things, but they're all gone. They're all gone. Then they will all be there at the exact same time, and they will not wane.
There's no past, present, future in the Olam Haba.
In what there will be is there'll be everything in the present, but there'll be an expansion of the present. We can call that the Atid, an unlimited expansion of the present. In other words, we will accrue new things based upon the Hove that we brought with us.
What
we did in this lifetime, what we did in this lifetime, that's what's called Olam Haba. It's the Olam that is Ba, that comes from this world. So when we collect, let's say we've now distilled all of the good that we've done within this world, we will now be standing with all of that at the same time. Not as memories.
As reality.
But as that will be our reality. It'll all be there. It'll all be there. Based upon that's who we made ourselves into. That's who we are. That's who we really are. That's what we've made ourselves into. Now as we're standing there like this, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will now expand that foundation more and more unlimitedly. But again, each person will be on a different stair in the escalator. Because whatever you made yourself into, that's what you are. So you'll keep on rising upward, Be'ezer Hashem, Yisbarach, in an unlimited fashion. And as you experience it, it'll become part of your presence, and more. We don't even know what it means. We can only describe it, etc. But we don't know what it means. We don't know what it means. But again, it's like an escalator. You can never make that foundation greater. You can never make the kli greater than you made it here, because this is the world of avoda. That's the world of skar. So it says, "Minayin l'tchias amesim in a Torah." Where do we know tchias amesim from the Torah itself? And when we say "minayin l'tchias amesim in a Torah," it doesn't just mean from where do we know it, as it were, cognitively from the words of the Torah, but tchias amesim emanates from the Torah. Tchias amesim emanates from the Torah, because the person's attachment to the Torah is the transformation of himself into something real. If I'm plugged into garbage, that garbage is all a dream anyway. It's nothing. It's not real. We'll all pay God, what we call Hashem should save us. We're a din v'cheshbon for everything that we did wrong in this world. Says the Gra, a din for the chutzpah of going against the Ratzon Hashem. And a cheshbon, what you could have been doing in this time. In the time that you were destroying yourself, you fool. You could have done unbelievable things. You could have done a chesed, you could have learned Torah, you could have said tilim, you could have done something. Right? Instead, what are you doing? It's like a kid. You take him out of the come into the crib, and he's happy as can be, and he's got his hand stuck in what he made in his diaper, and he smeared it all over himself, and he's got it in his hair, and he made it crazy, and he's like, oh, it's terrific, isn't it? It's absolutely terrific. It's terrific. Animals do that also. Big animals do that. They get a kick out of something rolling around in dung. It's like, whoa, super.
Just skin, no acne.
Yeah, right. That's true.
No skin.
So Oz Yashir Moshe, right? Minayin tchias amesim in the Torah. This is the prototype. What was shar is yashir. This is as real as you can be. This is the most real thing. All of the libo, Yashir Shira, Rashi, it rose up in his heart. In other words, all of the libo, Yashir Shira. You know, it's an interesting thing. Such an interesting thing. The Medrash says that the Rishayim are Birshus Libam. Right? They're in the control of their hearts. Right? They're in the control of their heart. They're under the control of their hearts. Under the control of their hearts. And the tzaddikim, they control their hearts. And the Medrash brings a riot.
You said goyim control their hearts.
Yeah, you just said the opposite.
No. The Rishayim are their hearts control them, Kiyla. Okay, we'll say it like that. Alright, yeah. Okay, I wasn't making myself clear. The Rishayim, they're under the control of their hearts. And the Tzaddikim, they control their hearts. And they bring a proof from that by the Rishayim it says Vayomer Haman Bilibo, or what do you call it? Novel Ammar Bilibo, inside his heart. In other words, because a person's heart is, in general, is always really a battleground for conflict. We say in Kriya Shema, V'yuhaftos Hashem lokecha b'chol levavcha, shnei yitzrecha levavcha. Because there's always a conflict in a person's heart. There's a conflict, the fight between that which is true and again that which is not true. So when the natural, as it were, state, because ayer pera adam yulad, a person is born a wild jackass, right? And there's the natural state of a person is his heart is taking him the wrong way. Lo sasurach leilim vavchem v'chrei nechem asher atem zonim achareihem. That's the natural state. It requires a voda, right? A person has to work. A person has to toil. So when the Rashi says Vayomer Haman Belibo or Paros Belibo or another Haman Novel Belibo in his heart, it means he's not in a state of conflict. This one's won. The what do you call it? The natural Yetzirah, as it were, has won. So he's speaking his Belibo inside his heart. By Kosh Baruch Hu, it also says Vayomer Shem Belibo. Why? Because but there's also no conflict, because there everything is perfect. It's quite on the other side. Man, though, right? Man, if he's not in a state of conflict, if he's not in a state of toil, right? So that means he's in a heart which is undeveloped, right? Akash Baruch Hu, when he speaks Bilibo, it's because Akash Baruch Hu is all perfection. There's no conflict in Hashem.
Right. Which word Az Yashir Moshir it means in his heart?
Oh, wait, I'm coming. I'm just trying to explain the idea first. Right? I'm trying to explain this idea first. So Bederach Kol, a person is in a state of conflict. Right? A state of conflict. Right? He's warring. He's doing battle with his Yetzer Hara. So that's why that tzaddikim it says Vayomer El Libo, right? Vayomer David El Libo. He says to his heart. It says he speaks to Kilo. He's in, you know, there's a dusiach. There's a dialogue over here. We gotta listen to me. Here, Rashi says, yeah, Oz Yashir Oz Kishara Hanes Olo Belibo Shiyashir Shira. It arose in motion. The nace was so purifying. Right, so purifying, so the rotzon to say shira, it was in his heart. All a beliba lashir shira, all a beliba, right? It rose up in his heart. All a beliba lashir shira, shiyashir shira, that he will sing shira.
Well, it wasn't quite an emotion because he had control over it. It's not an emotional libo. I don't know what I'm asking, but something I feel in my libo.
When a person reaches a certain stage of tahara, of incredible, when his lave becomes, when a person has accomplished, for whatever reason, his lave is so tahor, then the lave wants to sing to Hashem. Right? Wants to sing. Because he's not in the world of conflict right now. Right? The lave is so full of tahara. So he says, Kishara Hanes Ola Belibo Shiyashir Shira. It rose up in his heart from the seeing of the nace to sing Shira. It's not even like it required a cognitive decision. It just welled up right inside of him. Because his whole system was so purified. And the nace that was witness was so purifying, it just came straight out of his heart. All of Beliba Lashir Shira.
His heart became almost like Hashem's heart. Perfect.
Right? Medrash even says on Pasuk, it says, Kosh Baruch is called Libam Shel Yisrael. He is our heart. He is our heart. If we choose to make him our heart. If we don't want to, we can have, you know, we can have a regular heart.
That's a very high expression.
Yeah. Afkan Yashir Amar Lo Libo. You hear this? Omar Lo Libo. No, his heart said to him, Omar Lo Libo, Shiyashir. B'derech Klal, yeah. In other words, the saying, yeah, the world of conflict is where I say to my heart, listen to me. Right? And here it was so pure that the heart said to him, let's sing Shira. Amar lo libo shiyashir v'chein asa, and so he did. Vayomru le'mor. So it's Oz Yashir Moshe of Nei Yisrael es Hashira Hazos LaHashem. They sang this Shira. Shira also, their Hagav, is what he called as a Lashon of cyclical, circular.
Shira.
When, like in Bav Metziah, in Eilu Metzias. If you find a circular configuration of coins, it's called, you found them kishir, like a shear. Because what is a shear? The shear is when a person sees, right? When does a person sing a shear? When a person sees, right, the complete cycle of things. When you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, he was here in the beginning, and the end brought us back to where he's, we call, where he wanted us to be all along from the beginning. When that when a person has that degree of clarity, when he sees the Shir Ki'ilu in the Bria, then he sings a Shir as well.
Very deep.
So it's not coming from his heart, it's coming from his brain.
No. See, that would equal. See, in the brain, right?
Saw the Shira.
No, he saw the nace. I'm saying, when you see, how do you see a Shira? How do you see a circle? You don't see, it's not like, you know, he's seeing, you know, floaters or something like that. And he's, I gotta go to the ophthalmologist. Right?
First
he saw the miracle. All believe a Shira. His lave told him, let's sing. What?
I didn't hear that.
It was Bederach Klal. It's such an interesting thing. Bederach Klal, a person. It says in Parakeh in Brachas. It says Ain Omdim Nispal Elamitoch Kovid Rosh. You need the head to direct the heart to daven properly. In this case of Shira, it came up from the heart. It was, the heart was already was purified.
And then his head already went with it.
Yeah, I mean, his head formulated the words.
But his heart controlled the head.
Right, but here it's a purified heart. Under normal circumstances, if the heart is what he called is directing you, then you got the tzaras. You need the head to control the heart. But here it was so pure that his lave told him to sing Shira. Amar lo libo shiyashir v'chein asa, and he did it. And here, why when a person sings, oz yashir. It says a person, when we say in Pesukah de Zimra, a person should say in a state of simcha, So you're thinking about, I was always like searching, where are the words. We're not going to obviously we're not going to go through all the words right now. But where are all the words here? Where's supposed to generate the simcha in it? And that's not the point. The point is a person should say it in a state of simcha. He should say it in a state of simcha, just as Moshe Rabbeinu said it in an incredible state of simcha. When he saw all of the expansion, all the expansiveness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance of the Jewish people, right? It's not that the words themselves are meant to generate the simcha. It's meant that the person, as it were, is trying to collect himself for a second and realize that these words were the expression of something that was said in such a state of unbelievable elation and clarity. Yet search in the words for the thing that's going to be mesameach you. You're not searching the words. That was my mistake all the time. I'm trying to say, they say you're supposed to say a shira besimcha. Well, I'm looking at the words, they're all very exciting, they're all very wonderful, etc. But what is supposed to be mesameach? Why am I supposed to get the simcha from here? Aziv azim raskov, what do you call it? Because that's backwards. The shira is the expression of the simcha. How am I going to look for the simcha in the expression of the simcha? You can't look for the simcha in the expression of the simcha. The expression of the simcha is the totsah of your being b'simcha. So that's what it means in us. We should say az yashir b'simcha. Should be az yashir b'simcha is because you should try and put yourself into the frame of mind of that clarity, of that godless, of what Hashem does for the Jewish people, right? You should be in that state of simcha, and the mail of the words will emanate from you in a state of simcha. But if you're looking for the words to transform you into simcha, it's like, you're going to get to the end and I can't figure out what was supposed to be mesameach me here. Okay. Then I think then afterwards, when we look at these words in the Shira, if we examine them, but if we don't examine them from a parav stance, but instead if we examine them from a state of trying to project ourselves into the state of the Jewish people, just what we saw, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Hu, the Shira starts from there. Even though what we call there's no shir there, but that's part of what we say is part of the shira. Ayosh Hashem, the psukim we did lamed and lamed aleph. In other words, that's where we're gonna get our simcha from. Ayosh Hashem bayom ahu es Yisrael. And as we should try and project ourselves back and remember, into the past and remember that Hashem saved us bayom ahu rekod. He saved us, and that day we saw the incredible involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the life of man, to the very, very most minute detail, to the most incredible mida keneged mida, saving the Jewish people and showing us how punishment works upon the backs of the Mitzrim, right? And first of all, that itself should be an incredible thing to be besameach about, because Hashem taught us both sides of the coin, the truth of reward and His love for us, and also the incredible truth of the catastrophe of going against His word, right? But He didn't teach it to us on our backs. He taught it to us. Yeah, he says, this is the video presentation. Look what's happening to them. They deserve it. But it's not just that the issue of there. It's meant to be a lesson to you. It's meant to be a lesson to you.
This is what you're going to get eventually.
Right, or God forbid, chas v'sholom, yeah. You shouldn't need it. But realize that we call it that to go against the Ratzon Hashem is to self-destruct yourself. So that is an incredible thing. On the one hand, the love for us, and on the other hand, not the punishment of the Mitzrim, right, call it the punishment of the Mitzrim, oh, they got it, you know, etc., etc., etc. The Seder, but call it, that's somebody called. They also it's also to see that that a person that evil is punished. But evil is punished meaning what's so exciting about seeing evil punished? What's so exciting about seeing evil punished is that what it gives a person a deeper understanding of the fact that all of my life exists only within the Ratzon of Hashem. That's a degree of clarity that I couldn't have understood before if I didn't see evil being punished. To see evil being punished, well, I get my jollies out of it, etc. Yeah, I'm so excited about it. Vengeance is sweet, but what is the sweetness in the vengeance? The sweetness in the vengeance is what he quotes that truth has to reign. Truth has to reign, and that as I see punishment of evil, I realize that man exists only within the Ratzon of Hashem. And as I see this, and so I think back to it, imagine at Yam Suf seeing on the one hand the unbelievable love that Hashem has for me. He's unilaterally picking me up because I don't deserve this, really. I don't deserve it. So he's showing me his love. His love is always there, but his love is hidden because he wants us to work for that, to realize it. But here, he sees that we don't have the capacity to do our part of the bargain. So he's willing to show his love for us, right? To show his love for us, and at the same time to instruct us in how totally a person lives within the Ratzon of Hashem by seeing the onus that comes upon the Mitzrim, and we see at the same time the godliness that a person can rise to by being an Eved Hashem. Aminu Hashem of Moshe Avdo. This is what a person can be, an Eved Hashem, Moshe Avdo. Well, so then a person will want to sing the Simcha. A person will want to recount the events, the salvation, as is recounted in the Shira, and the punishment of the Mitzrim, and the Mita Keneged Mita, all the aspects which are referred to in the Shira. Are all descriptions of what we perceived just prior to the Shira. So we should try and put ourselves in that state of prior to the Shira, and then the Shira will be sung, yeah, b'simcha. It'll be sung b'simcha.
You have to do this every day. Every morning at Shabbos.
Right.
That's a tough one to fill, but it could be done. I'm going to try.
Imagine standing at the Yam Suf. Imagine standing at the Yam Suf. There's nowhere to go. Right? It's the end. Right? After all of this, it's the end. After Eser Makos, it's the end. Right? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Matitzakilai, Dabrel B'nei Yisrael V'Yisrael, just tell him to walk, to go in. It can't be the end. The teretz is that emunah will conquer everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you step forward, and through emunah, a whole world opens up in front of us. A world of salvation, a world of realization of the mita keneged mita. A whole world opens up in front of them. And then what a person wants to do is he wants to sing Shira. Okay.
Alright.
I did. Yeah, I taped it today. Okay.